good deal. Made contact. And so, hey, don't forget to and to remember and to pray for. We got a lot of folks, you know, got a heavy heart hurting and this and that. People that'll be on the road, and just don't forget to remember to pray for them. All right, take your Bible, if you will, the book of Acts. In the book of Acts, in chapter number 21. In the book of Acts, in chapter 21. And so as you look there in the chapter there, in chapter 21, verse number 13, if you find the place you're able to stand, let's look there. Bible said in verse number 13, Paul answered, "What mean ye to weep and break mine heart? For I'm ready not only to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus." Now, Father, bless your word to every heart. We do thank you for it, how good it is to be in the house of God tonight. We praise you and thank you, thou art God from everlasting to everlasting, and beside thee there's none else. We thank you, Lord, for loving us while we were unlovable. Save the lost, we pray thee. Lift up the downhearted, set the captives free in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you and be seated. I want to preach a little while on preaching. It's a dangerous business. When you begin to look into this Bible lesson that's here tonight, you'll find the Apostle Paul. He's about on his way going to Jerusalem. And boy, they know that there's a lot of people that are mad at him. There's a lot of people that want to have him killed. And fact is, if you read over there in the next chapter, and you'd find out in chapter 23, that there was a group of them Jews that band together and swore an oath, said, "We're not going to eat and drink anymore till we kill Paul." And it was more than 40 of them that band together like that. Now, I realize and know that you and I may not see it on that fashion, but let me tell you, their lives were in jeopardy every hour. And we live in a day and an hour to where that folks are certainly have forgotten all about God, the Bible, that which is good, right, moral, and decent. Let me say to you that preaching is a dangerous business, especially, and I'm not talking about some of these little sugar stick sermons that are going on the day we live in. I'm not talking about people that get a little dab-a-do-ya sermon and somehow or another that just go through the motions. I'm not talking about that, but I'm talking about old-fashioned Bible preaching that does not skip anything that God had to say. Now, obviously, tonight I don't have time and you don't have time either to find out and listen to everything God had to say. But you know, after a man's been here 20-something years like I have, and nearly 30, going on 30, I ought to got to some of it. I know some preachers been preaching 20-some-odd years and ain't never said nothing. I used to listen to a lot of them. Nice men, no doubt about it. Respectable people as far as that concerned, but they knew where to draw the line and did not ever preach the whole counsel of God. In this Bible lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find out is that the Bible said, number one is there's a performance that the Apostle Paul was going through. And if you look in chapter 20 and verse number 19, here's what it was. He said, "I'm serving the Lord with all humility of mind." Now, you know, when you approach God, you got to approach God for who that he is. You have to come to him before him as an empty-handed beggar. You have to come humbly before the throne of grace. And let me tell you, here's what he said to them. He said, "Not only have I been serving the Lord," but he said, "with the humility of mind, but I've got many tears. I've got many temptations. And there's those that are lying in wait, and no doubt that are of the Jews." And we've already told you about how many that had made an oath and that had a conspiracy against him. In this Bible lesson that you're looking at, you'll find that how'd you like to do the best you could to deliver sermons and establish churches and to preach the word of the Lord and find out there's 40 people band together wanting to kill you? That'll make you sleep good at night. Paul the apostle was such a man. Number two is, I want to say to you that, if you will, that what he did was he programmed his heart and his mind to be in fellowship with God, and it didn't matter if he preached in the public or if he preached in private. I can tell you a lot of times down through the years, I've met lots of people in 40-some-odd years of ministry, and I guess about 49 now. I've met lots of people, lots of preachers that say, "Well, now here on the side, this is what I really believe, but Derek, I don't say that in my church, I'd lose half of them." That's sad, isn't it? I got to say to you that, if you will, that Paul the Apostle, whatever he said to you in private, He preached from the housetop and preached out in the public. Message did not change one iota. In this lesson that you're looking at, let me tell you, is that whenever you're preaching publicly, the same thing you preach in private, that's preaching, buddy, that'll cause you to pay a price. In this lesson that you're looking at, you're going to find out is that he said, I've not shunned to declare unto you the whole counsel of God. I can tell you right. He can tell you how to look right, act right, walk right, talk right, spit white. That's for snuff dippers, by the way. I had some kin folks of mine that liked to dip snuff. And they were God-fearing people and all that business there. It's just nasty. It's just a nasty habit, you know. And what I can't figure out is when you're preaching on it and they get mad, then they end up with stomach cancer and they want you to pray for them. And what do you want me to pray about? Well, I got stomach cancer. Well, okay, reckon what caused that? Doctor said all that snuff I've been eating. I had one old gal's name Mammy, and we called her Mammy, and I don't know what relation that she was, but she is kin somehow or another. And I said, well, Mammy, you're against smoking, but how come you're not against dipping snuff? I tell you, because nobody ought to burn up something tastes this good. And there were things like this right here that go out, you know, and this bit of wad that I guarantee you couldn't put in a baseball cap. And then one of the kids would come up, you know, like one of these littler kids, and they wanted to see what that was and stick their foot. And they'd say something like, Hill, get your foot out of that nasty stuff. And they're thinking, no doubt, it just came out of your mouth. Yeah, if you want to take a little dip of snuff to calm your nerves, I don't care, but I'm just trying to tell you, if you get stomach cancer, it'll be too late to ask me to pray with you about that. I will, but, you know. I want to say to you that if you will, please, that publicly and from house to house, the Apostle Paul had the same message. Whatever God said, he said it. He said it the way God said it, where God said it, to whom God said it to, and that's where the rub comes in the day and hour that we're living in. In this Bible lesson that we're looking at, you find is that we get away from it. I've been preaching against long hair on men and riches on women ever since I've been in the ministry. And it don't make one bit of difference. People are going to do pretty much whatever they want to do. I'm not responsible for what you're doing. You know, over there in the book of Deuteronomy, somebody was trying to give me and argue with me and try. There was a preacher now. They called himself a preacher, and he was trying to tell me that over there, you know, I must have had really some insight whenever he talked about Deuteronomy 22:5, that a man shouldn't wear a woman's garment, neither should a woman put on man's garment. They that do so an abomination in the sight of the Lord, something like that effect. And he said, now, you know, how do you get that? I said, easy, sir. Do you believe it's all right for a man to wear a dress? Well, this is a preacher, an old preacher. You believe it's all right for men to wear a dress? Well, no, they don't. Nobody wants to ever go from that angle. But then the same verse that condemns one condemns the other. I could care less and give a rip what you do, but I can tell you this. My responsibility is to tell you all that God said about that subject. See? I got to say, and of course, you know, in the day we live in, most time women not too clad in breeches, they cut them off and made shorts out of them. That used to be a little song back whenever I was a kid growing up. We like short me, and they had little old gals on, you know. Of course, what they had on then was pretty modest compared to what we got going now. Y'all remember that commercial? Yeah. In this lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find out something here. Is that Paul the Apostle was a man and started churches, and he was a church builder. And as a result of that, you'll find that here's the way he did it. He preached in verse 28 of chapter number 20. He preached the gospel of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He said, take heed unto yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. I'm going to tell you something. The most expensive thing on the face of this earth is the church of the living God. It costs the precious blood of Jesus. And let me tell you something right now. It is the highest paid for thing on the face of the earth. And yet the church as expensive as it is, has been despised by humanity and the religious world that we're living in. There's a lot of perils that happen in the church. In verse number 29 and 30, down over there in chapter number 20, you'll find out, is that the Bible said, that there's going to be those that are going to be enemies that are from without. You know, enemies from without makes the flock get closer. But then there's enemies from within. Enemies from within scatter the flock. And let me say to you that when you begin to look into it, you'll find is that they were grievous wolves that will not spare the flock, he said, after that I'm gone. And I'll tell you something, is that you're going to find out in the day and hour that we're living in, is that one of these days, just like the Apostle Paul, he had to leave those folks and leave them behind. And he warned them night and day with tears that whenever he was gone, there's going to be grievous wolves come in. They won't spare you one way or the other. I think about every now and again, is that here's the Apostle Paul, and here's what he says. My defense is going to be of God. And I want to commend you to the Lord. Look in verse 32 of chapter 20 now. Brethren, I commend you to God, to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. Now, in this lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find out is that there's a provision that God gave in the church. You know what it is? It's the word of God. Let me tell you something. The Bible said the word of God's able to build you up. The word of God's able to increase you in the faith. The word of God's able to strengthen you. The word of God's able to settle you. You know, if you get enough of the word of the Lord in your heart, it won't matter what somebody comes along and wants to cast doubt upon it. You're settled on it. I'm settled. Here's what God said. I got it settled in my heart. And make no mistake about it. No ifs, no ands, no buts, no maybe so's about it. You know what's wrong with the average Baptist? They're looking for a loophole. See? They believe in the word of the Lord until it goes to getting in their way. And then whatever it is they want to do and wherever they want to go and so forth and on. I got to tell you, you better get some things that are settled deep down in your heart. You know what that is? I've been built up on my most holy faith by the word of the Lord. Then I want to say to you that, if you will, please, is that we're to be sure that we make sure that we take care and guard your heart and guard your mind. Put on the whole armor of God, the Bible said in Ephesians. Now, there's a passage over there in Proverbs in chapter number 27. Proverbs, there's a passage there that we ought to look at real quickly. And then we'll be turning to another passage in a moment. But in the book of Proverbs in chapter number 27, it's about verse number 23, that when we look there in that passage. Now, I want you to watch that. And I want you to see that. 27. And about verse number, 23, and let's see if that's it. He said, be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks, and to look well to thy herds. Now notice, for riches are not forever. Don't care how much money you get or how much money you make. And I do like to be able to get a lot of money. I wish I would really pray for this lottery ticket in my pocket. No, I don't have a lottery ticket in my pocket. I ain't never bought a ticket. Some of you have bought one, and God bless you, and I hope you'll be kind and considerate and remember that I was not too hard on you, and if you do win the lottery, you split it with me. But no, I don't have one, and I've never had one. I've never bought one. I may start buying them, but I'm not yet. I said all that to be able to say this, is that God said for me to know the state of my flock. Why? Riches are not forever. If that's all you ever get out of life is some more money, some more material, more riches, more things, things that are not bad in and of themselves. But if that's all you ever get out of life, it's going to pass with time. Not many moons ago, while you turned to Zephaniah, over in Zephaniah, book of Zephaniah, I'll give you a moment to find that. But over in the book of Zephaniah, I had a lady one time, you know, the biggest thing that she got closer to the coming of her departure and leaving this world, you know, the biggest thing she's worried about? How them kids were going to waste the money she had saved. I said, you should have went ahead and gave it. Should have went ahead and gave it to the Lord then. Oh, no. I'm not going to. But that was the biggest fear she had, that they were going to squander. You think I ought to put it in a trust? Trust who? You're going to trust some infidel up there not to give your kids what's rightfully theirs as an inheritance? See? I know what all you kids are thinking. Preach it, Papa. I hope you remember that too. I hope you remember that I believe and that I know that riches are not forever. Zephaniah, turn quickly there. We're going to close with it in about chapter number 3 and verse number 1. Now I'll tell you what's happened about the dangers that are in the church of the living God. There's dangers without, there's dangers within. The biggest danger you have and threat in your home is you. Your mental state about toward God. In Zephaniah chapter 3, verse number 1, he said, "Woe to her that is filthy and polluted to the oppressing city." Man, what a sad state the people of God and Israel had gotten into. "She obeyed not the voice and received not correction." There's where the average Baptist church is. "She trusted not in the Lord. She drew not near to her God. Her princes within her were roaring lions. Her judges are evening wolves. And they gnaw not the bones till the morrow. The prophets are light and treacherous persons." Made you feel good about yourself like you are without repenting. "Her priests have polluted the sanctuary. They've done violence to the law. The just Lord in the midst thereof, and he will not do iniquity every morning, doeth he bring his judgment to light. He faileth not, but the unjust knoweth no shame. I've cut off the nations, and their towers are desolate, and I've made their streets waste, and none passeth by, the cities destroyed, so that there is no man, that there is none inhabitant. I said, surely thou wilt fear me, and thou wilt receive instruction, and so their dwelling should not be cut off. Howsoever I punished them, but they rose early and corrupted all of their doings." Now, let me tell you something. Here's where it's at. People that live the loosest, the most lackadaisical, do what they want, when they want, if they won't. It's hard when you're standing by somebody's bedside and begging God in their behalf. "Lord, forget about the time they forsook you for money. Forget about the time that they look like the rest of the world. Forget about the time you get in the picture." We have to just, and that's not a good time to remind anybody, but I can tell you one thing that I do know, that God knows the difference. God knows the difference. He said, "I punished them, but they knew no shame." Didn't have no shame whatsoever about them. As you look into this blessed word of the Lord, let me tell you, if you preach the word of the Lord the way they said it, to whom they said it, it's a dangerous business. You that are here tonight, I know that I'm preaching to the choir, the cream of the crop. But notice how your own kinfolks that are designed to biologically love you, who don't because it's a little too salty where you go to church, a little too strong where you're involved in. See, you know what the reason why? They've got the same thinking that woman that had that pot belly, that had that T-shirt on, and said, "I love Jesus, but I drank a little." And that's the kind of thinking that we're looking at in the day and hour that we're living in. I wonder when we stand before the Lord, I just wonder, if that old gal really loves Jesus or she just loves beer drinking. I'll lay you odds that I don't do a lot of gambling. I don't have a lottery card, but if you want to take a small bet on the side, let's do it. I'll lay you odds she wouldn't like what the Bible had said. See? People with their lip and their life endorse pretty much what they want, regardless of whatever God had to say. Let's stand to our feet, our heads are bowed. Our Father, we want to thank you for loving us. We ask your blessings upon these that we've mentioned. Go back and forth. And we praise you and thank you now for those that are trying to help others. Bless, I pray, those that are sick. And Lord, I pray you'd restore their health. I pray you'd help us now as you examine our heart and our lives, that we might be able to exalt and magnify your name together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.